Hobbits don't wear shoes.
No.
I mean, I understand at the bottom of their shoes or feet are pretty strong.
Right.
But they're going to be walking over stuff that would cut shoes. I feel like they should just wear shoes. Like, remember when like, Frodo and Sam were in, like, those razor-sharp rocks? As Gimli's?
Yes.
I feel like that at that point, there might have been, like, they had to have gotten cut at some point. Something unpleasant had to happen to their feet where they were like, you know what? Shoes might have been a decent idea. I regret that decision.
They also were in a place with dragons, so yeah, I didn't really think about it too much.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for August 15th, 2012. This is Mike Minotti and I'm joined by my brother, Ajguy.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going good.
How's the news look?
All kind of stuff.
Yeah, things are picking up again, I feel like. We're out of the summer funk.
Yeah. At least for a week. I think we go back into it next week.
Really? I feel like we're mostly out of the summer, or like the post-E3 slowness, you know?
Yeah, well, we have other shows starting up now. Gamescom this week, mm-hmm. TGS will be soon, so that helps.
Right. So why don't you, we got news, then we're going to do our week in gaming, and then the releases. So let's get started. What's going on?
Okay, if you're a fan of Team Fortress or Valve, it's been a very exciting week and a half or so. Well, the first big thing, of course, is the Man versus Machine update coming to
Team Fortress 2. Which was hinted at.
For the last 2 years, apparently. Who knew? I mean, yeah, like, there's a cool video you can find it online where, like, in the engineer update teaser, you see robot heads, and there were hidden pictures inside of maps that you had to find through no clip mode, and there were source files, and finally models of robotic heads inside of the Source Filmmaker. Long story short, it comes out later today. We haven't gotten to play it yet. But it's basically a horde mode for Team Fortress. You get a team of six, which is interesting.
It's almost more like a zombie, like the Call of Duty zombie mode.
Yeah, it sounds closer. You're right.
Like Gears of War horde mode.
Yeah. So, yeah, waves of these robots coming along with, like, super-sized robots and even some regular-sized ones that apparently are powered up. And you have, like a between-waves upgrade path for all the classes. So I don't know if it's going to use your custom items or not. I mean, I feel like it has to. People have invested so much in that stuff.
The interesting thing is that, like, you know, whereas when you play Team Fortress 2, normally you get, like, the hats and rewards and stuff randomly. When you win, you get rewards.
Right. Apparently the robots are fueled by money for some inexplicable reason.
Why not?
I mean, you really should go look at the trailer for it, look at the website, read the comics.
Yeah, it's all very funny.
I bet you've never realized how much story there was in Team Fortress. I did too.
It's confusing.
But it's so cool. Yeah. I love that this happened.
Yeah.
Like, the hype leading up to this was so exciting. Like, I just loved it.
There's a weird, like, time thing now, because this takes place in the timeline, like, 4 years after most of the events of Team Fortress 2.
Kind of. I mean, stuff's been progressing.
Yeah, but this is a night. Now the owners of Red and Blue are dead, and they joined forces. So obviously, when you go play like Capture the Flag, and you're kind of going back in time now.
A little bit.
One thing I never realized was that this is like that Team Fortress 2 is a period piece.
Yeah.
Like, it's originally set in 1968, and this is 1972. Stuff.
I know, it's so cool.
It's a nuts.
In the Steam front, they've been rolling out some new community features, game hubs, where you can kind of get collections of all the Steam Workshop stuff, videos and screenshots from all the games on Steam. They're enhancing communities. More stuff's coming this week. Also, there's a rumor now that Valve might be making a movie.
I never heard this. What's that?
They registered the domain. Oh, shoot. I forgot it already. Gamer the Movie or something like that?
Oh, like a documentary?
I don't know what it is. And Jeff Keighley was teasing on Game Trailers TV this week some new video footage from Valve for their non-gaming related thing. Now, this, I don't know, it could have to do with the Steam update that's going to have apps, but I don't know what it is.
Is it going to be like when Square made a movie and it was terrible?
I hope not.
I don't know. What
well, at least, I mean, Valve has shown that they have some filmmaking chops, at least.
I guess. I don't know what
they're
doing
in 3D.
I don't want that. It would be cool if they made, like, a Team Fortress movie or whatever. I don't know. What's Gamer the Movie?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Something like that. I should have wrote it down. And on a
what about
less
that?
Exciting note, apparently Steam was... No, wait. This was Blizzard. Never mind.
What about that Half-Life 3 thing?
It was nothing.
Well, but isn't that weird? You know, I don't think it's nothing. So what happened is, like, Gamescom releases the list of games that will be at Gamescom. Right. And Half-Life 3 was on the list.
Whoops.
Well, how do you make that mistake?
I don't know.
Come on, there's something to that. You don't just accidentally go, oh, yeah, in Half-Life 3, right? Probably. I mean, come on. You know, and you know, Valve denied it. I don't actually think that it's going to be there, but... It's a weird mistake to make.
Well, there was a Dragon Age 3 listing on there, too, so it wasn't just Half-Life 3.
Right. Why do you do both? How do you do that? I don't understand. Where does that come from? And, like, journalists say, like, they're always like, yeah, we asked how this happens, and they just won't tell us. Look, those are both games that are going to be made, right?
Oh, yeah.
You think they're both games that are being shown behind closed doors at Gamescom? No? Dragon Age 3, not behind closed doors? Why not? Half-Life 3? Maybe.
I don't understand what the point of showing a game behind closed doors is. Like, listen, this is a secret, so please don't tell anybody. It's like, then why are you showing, like, 5 people? Why do they need to see it? If they're not allowed to talk about it.
Right. I don't know. Just, there's something to it than just somebody going, whoops! There's something else there. Yeah. I don't know what.
And, you know, I don't
maybe
either.
I'm just being hopeful, because, you know, that'd be awesome.
Because you really want Half-Life 3?
Right.
I think I kind of almost jumped the gun on here. Apparently, Battle.net was hacked now. We all have to change our Blizzard passwords. The troubling thing to me is, it may have even compromised the authenticator.
Oh, that's bad.
But, like...
How can it do that?
I don't know, but, like... But they're like, I mean, they're saying, well, everything was encrypted, and the odds of them breaking the encryption is really bad. Like, yeah, like the odds of them hacking you in the first place were.
Yeah, right.
I don't know who I'm more mad at, the hackers who are doing this or the companies who can't get their shit together.
Well, I don't know. At least the companies are trying, whereas the hackers are, like, you know, specifically trying to be jerks and stealing things. I guess I hate the hackers more.
Yeah.
If it comes down to it, who's the bigger jerk?
So, speaking of jerks, Konami, after the Silent Hill HD thing last week, Now,
yeah, this thing. They did what you wanted.
But here's my point.
Oh, you're not happy.
No. I'm fine with it. Well, what happened? Konami's now offered, if you've bought the HD collection before August 8th, so if you buy it, like, right now, then you're just an idiot, and apparently they hold you accountable for that.
Right.
But if you bought it before, I think it's August 8th, and you email them a copy of your receipt... You can choose a new game from a huge list of games. It's basically everything they've published since the PlayStation 2 came out.
Hmm.
Like, there's PS2 and Xbox games on this list.
Really?
That's impressive. Bizarre. Also including lists of Silent Hill HD for the PS3, since that got fixed.
Yeah, why not?
I mean, it's everything. Like, Metal Gear 4 is on there. It's huge. I just find it odd that when they first publicized, like, they sent out that press release I read last week, So one of the sites followed up and they were like, well, what are you doing for people who have the broken 360 version? Their response was, we would direct them to our customer support. Like, what are they going to do? Then, like, 4 days later, they're like, here's a list of games.
Oh.
Like, I mean, don't you feel like that should have been ready to go at the same time?
Yeah,
and, like, this
nice.
Is a little bit of a reaction, like, oh, people are mad at us. We'll give them a free game. We've got a bunch of Xbox games lying around, right? Like, I mean, that's
like,
what it feels like.
We're about to go throw these into a ditch in the desert right next to E.T.
Yeah, like, that's what it feels like to me. Is it's kind of cold comfort and something they should have thought of a lot sooner.
Mm.
That's just me. Are you a fan of the Neo Geo?
Yeah.
You got to get a Neo Geo X Gold for $200?
Maybe, actually.
Really?
It looks cool. Did you see this? About this, actually.
What it is, it's a handheld Neo Geo machine. Now, is it purely just running off the internal games, like you can't get more for it?
I think it just comes with 20, I think, games.
Yeah. And what's neat is it actually has a home dock, so you could dock
the
system.
The home dock looks exactly like the old home version of Neo Geo, which used to be like $600.
And then that has an arcade stick with it. So
right.
I do you know if you can get a second arcade stick?
I don't see why not. I don't know.
I would hope.
I don't know.
Like Metal Slug and is King of Fighters on there?
Yeah, they got a lot of the fighting games. But it's kind of neat.
I mean, it is.
We think, like, the Neo Geo was, like, the ultimate status symbol for gamers in the 90s,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and no
one... We didn't even have one.
No. Right. So this is
We had two 3DOs.
You can kind of have a Neo Geo.
Yeah.
I think it's neat. Neo Geo.
No.
Neo Geo.
Michael, are you offended by girlfriend mode?
Most. I'm so mad. So mad at this new thing we're supposed to be outraged about.
Let me tell the story. So, you see, when Mario Galaxy 2 came out, the internet called the second player mode... Oh, wait, I'm sorry. That's the wrong girlfriend mode. That's the one we're not outraged about.
Wait, wait, what was that? Oh, yeah.
Don't you remember when Mario Galaxy came out and like it had the second player thing?
I called it girlfriend mode. It was.
Yeah, but it was like... I read the IGN article. They're like, the internet's taken to calling it girlfriend mode. And that's what everyone called it. Right. Now some guy from Gearbox... calls their new tech tree for the Necromancer girlfriend mode.
But that's sexist.
And, oh, no, now it's sexist.
I mean...
Look, people, I'm all for equality and you know, women not being, you know, making sandwiches in the kitchen. Can we please calm down a little bit, though?
Everybody's so indignant these days.
Oh, it's just...
And, I mean, look, is it the best thing to say no? Does he really think that all girls suck at video games? Come on, no.
No, I mean,
look,
frankly...
I'm going to be honest. I play video games with a lot of people's girlfriends. And it's not a pretty picture.
No.
And there's nothing wrong with that, okay? It's not like I'm saying you don't know how to play video games, you're worthless. And I'm not saying all girls don't know how to play video games.
Clearly there are some who are pretty
That's
good at
fine.
Them.
Fine. Look, not all guys have a weird obsession with animated Disney movies like I do. If somebody said, like, you know, girls are sure to love this new Disney calendar, I'm not going to get mad.
Yeah.
I'm going to say, you know what, I like Disney too, so why am I not included, huh? My daughter can have the Power Ranger Happy Meal toy instead of the Barbie one if she wants. It's like that thing.
Look, I mean, this guy is not, like, from PR. He's not from marketing. He's a dude working on the game and who is just talking. Leave him alone.
And I'm sorry, people who are like, I'm not buying Borderlands 2 now.
You're lost, because that game looks freaking rad.
But just, come on.
Yeah, seriously.
Really? Like, when you start doing that, I feel like you're going to have to start boycotting... almost everything consumerism-ish. Because I'm sure somebody who worked at some place somewhere has either done something or said something you may not 100% agree with at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what I was saying when this Chick-fil-A thing happened. Like, what do you think McDonald's does with all their money? Do you think it's all things you would approve of?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Well, then, I mean, there's the extreme example people put out where, like, you know, the heads of oil companies in the Middle East execute women and gays. So are you going to stop buying gasoline? No. Yeah. I think people like to have a thing that they could rally behind.
I said this in a comic, and I think this is 100% true. Apathy is out. Indignant rage is in.
Yeah.
And I kind of miss apathy, to be honest.
Yeah, at least apathy quiet.
It's its own evil. It's its own kind of bad thing, because, you know, nothing gets accomplished with apathy.
But nothing gets accomplished with indignant rage, except guy who works at Gearbox gets picked on for a week.
Yeah. And I'm glad, like, the guy kind of came out in a... Randy Pitchford, the main guy there.
Yeah.
I'm glad he didn't just come out and succumb and apologize. He said, look, this guy's not as sexist, everyone, just whatever. Maybe he shouldn't have said anything at all, but I'm glad he didn't just immediately buckle down.
Yeah, like, write some press release, like, we apologize to female gamers, and Gearbox has a strong tie to the female gaming community. And, yeah.
Oh, really?
See, no, they didn't. I'm just saying, I'm glad they didn't.
The problem is, whatever this happened, you get the real sexists who, like, go, like, yeah, that guy's right for saying that. So then all of a sudden you feel like you're grouped in with them.
Yeah.
You don't want to be with them. And it's just annoying. It's just, I can't believe that anybody made a fuss about this in the first... Like, Jim Sterling wrote an article about Destructoid, and at first he did it with the indignant rage. And he actually went back and edited it. He's like, look, I didn't mean to sound like I was that mad about it.
Right.
I don't know. So it's like, it's a thing where people have to act this way.
Remember, like, a week and a half ago when there was that article in Kotaku about, like, why doesn't the game industry talk more and it's all secretive and everything? Well, if apparently every time they open their mouth, you're going to jump down their throat.
That guy, I think, somebody followed the story up with this, saying that this is why we can't have nice things.
Yeah, exactly. Because everyone freaks out.
Yeah, this is why we get, like, a screenshot every 3 months.
Yeah,
and
this is why everything's
planned.
Filtered through PR, because there are people who are paid to make sure nothing offends anybody.
Yep.
Whoops, that's my bad. Well, I did have it off, but then I was playing Hero Academy while I was waiting for you.
I was busy. Busy writing a story about...
I know. Oh, the Penny Arcade Kickstarter!
Yay.
He's the master of the Segway! I stole that from Jeff Cannata. Anyway, the Penny Arcade Kickstarter is done. They got, what, 527,000 total?
Give me a second. They got 528,000.
Ooh, I was close.
51.
So... technically met their goal of 250,000.
That's different now.
They got to the point to get all ads off the front page. They're making their strip search thing. Jerry's dressing as the fruit fucker at PAX. Mike is going to chase a duck while shouting 7,000 some names, I guess. Still left half of their stretch goals on the floor.
No, two-thirds of them.
Okay, even more. Including the big one, which is no ads.
Right. Four of them were never even detailed. They're still question marks. Yes. It goes all the way 1.4 million.
And then the next stretch goal, which was the Daughters of Airwood, based off the Lookouts, the comic for that, they're doing it anyway.
A few things.
Go ahead.
And it's still all a little icky to me. This whole thing has never stopped icking me out.
There is a weird thing about it.
First off, though, do you think that they are happy with this? Because they're pretending to be.
No, I'm sure they're glad that they met some success, that they're going to get to do some things, but I'm sure in their head they're thinking, oh, we can get $1 million from the community. Sure. These are the people who sell out packs within hours. And,
right.
You know, like, yeah, no problem.
But that's my thing. For a group of people who are familiar with incredible, enormous success lately, like, you know, PAX 700,000 people.
Yeah, I mean, really, this is like the first thing that they have done in a long time where they haven't just outright succeeded. Which, I mean, it's great that they've been so successful thus far in everything they've done.
That's one of the good things about setting, like, basically, they made their first goal, like, the goal.
Uh-huh.
Which they were always going to get at least $250,000. Right. But now they can say, we met our goal. We doubled our goal. But the $1 million was the goal. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I mean, how different would it have been if they said, listen, no ads are bust. Kickstarter goal, $1 million, go.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Kickstarter, if you don't meet your goal,
you get nothing. Money. Right. That's why you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
then there's a debate. Should this have even been on Kickstarter in the first place?
Well, that was a debate we already had, and I don't know. Because it seems like the actual projects are the interesting thing, and they're not, like, this whole Lookouts thing, that they're just going to do it anyway, that weirds me out.
Right.
Because you're holding that there is an incentive to say, donate more money so we can make this. And then, you know, you don't get the money for it. You say, well, we're going to make it anyway. Well, what did you need the money for then?
What I think would have been a smarter way of doing this would have been to say, okay, listen, like maybe four times out of the year, you do a Kickstarter for a project. If we can raise $250,000, we're going to do a full-length Lookouts comic. Then after that's done, if we can get $250,000, we're going to do a year's worth of the DLC podcast. And that way, you're funding actual projects.
Yeah, I think it would have been better if they just did a bunch of smaller projects. Just forget about this whole ad thing. And, you know, Gabe even said, I'm surprised how many people, you know, like the ads. I don't even know it's so much that they like the ads, but they don't care.
Yeah, I'll say this for Pain Arcade's advertising. A third of the time, it's for their own product.
Mm-hmm.
Their ads are... The other two-thirds of the time, they're for usually good things, because, as they said, they very strictly curate their ads. They don't let just anything on there. And their ads are unobtrusive. They don't have pop-ups. They're not things that take over the whole screen. They don't make any noise. They're just subtly animated banners that are fairly out of the way. I mean, they're one of the few websites, I'd argue, that do advertising right.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I understand their fear of relying on the model, because it's getting trickier. You have RSS readers, you have... things like Instapaper and Read It Later that strip out the ads and just give you the content. You have people sharing stuff on Facebook and Twitter. Advertising is becoming a harder revenue stream. But at the same time...
But they have other revenue streams.
Exactly. They have packs. They have their merchandise. They have corporate deals. Like, I wonder how much the advertising, like, what percentage of their overall revenue the advertising is. I mean, I'm sure it's a pretty high percentage.
Do you think it's a tough pill for people to swallow, too, to give $1 million to these guys now? When they're no longer kind of the underdog, scrappy, wet penny arcade, but, like, the people who are tweeting their kind of expensive dog pictures and, like, their Hawaii vacations.
Exactly.
Stuff. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, they succeeded. They get the fruits of their labor. But
at the same hand, it's like, well, you don't need me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, I mean, like I said... We were talking about this earlier today. When they were doing donations back in the early days, I mean, I gave them like $5 or $10 a month. Because that's an easy pill to swallow. When you're funding an entire year outright to follow, you know, the same amount I used to pay back then, that's $60 to $120 up front. I don't have that on hand right now.
Yeah, it's just weird. You think they're going to do it again next year?
Well, I'd like to see, like I said, I think, and I just thought of this as we were talking about it, I think the idea of doing quarterly Kickstarters for individual projects...
I think that'd be cool, just if you want to do a project...
Kickstart it.
Yeah.
If you want to do a Lookouts comic, kickstart. If you want to do a podcast kickstarting.
Like, look, if we do the math, so technically for this lookouts thing, from the one stretch goal to the other, it's about $25,000.
$125,000. Oh, I'm reading the wrong thing. Yeah. I'm sorry.
$2,500. So if you did that, you would have funded that easily.
Yeah.
Then you have to worry about, like, oh, man, we, you know, quadrupled our, what are we going to do for this comic, you know?
But, right. And that's when maybe you release supplemental materials.
People would care about that.
What's that?
People would care, too, because they like lookouts. People don't care about the ads.
That's the thing. I think they tried to kickstart something that people were apathetic about. If they kickstart the things people care about, like, I mean, I love Automata. If they kickstarted $100,000 for an Automata comic, I would have been all over it.
Yeah. You're not getting the Automata comic. Where was it?
I thought they got Automata.
Well, they already did.
Yeah, that was earlier.
Oh, you're right. That's happening. Yeah. It's funny how, like, there's a lot of these really expensive, like, things you get for donating a lot of money that nobody wanted to do.
And another,
like, for $2,500, AJ, you can brew with Jerry. 4 out of 4 left. oh man, for $25,000, Robert Koo will do a full analysis of your business plan. 10 out of 10 left. Gabe will do a full review portfolio. Nobody wanted that. For $5,000, you can play ping pong with them. Nah. I think they kind of blew it on these reward tiers.
The final
too.
Thing I'll say about it too is when you put these ridiculous stretch goals, like the one that really interested me the most was getting the DLC podcast back. Mm-hmm. And that was at what, like the $825,000 mark? And when it was pretty clear right away that they were never going to hit it, but they already hit their goal, I didn't care anymore. It's like, well, we're never going to get to that.
Right.
And I don't care about the advertising.
Unlike other Kickstarter things, you're not going to get your money back if you don't get what you want.
Exactly. That's a good point. Like, if I was kickstarting this because I wanted to see the podcast come back, I'm essentially kickstarting something I may or may not get, but I'm still paying it.
I think this Kickstarter hurt Penny Arcade in the long run.
I think it did, too. I think it made them look a little needy. And, like I said, it was frankly their first big failure I could think of in a long time.
Some people don't like calling it a failure because, you know, you can argue they met their goal.
Right.
I don't think that was the goal. And I can't prove, like, I'm not in there. I don't work with, I don't know what they were hoping for. When you look at that image of, like, the roadmap, and it's like, here's the stretch goals, and it goes all the way 1.4 million. You wonder.
Yeah.
All right, I guess that's it on that.
Yep. Finally, Gamescom's going on. Really, the biggest thing I wanted to talk about was Sony's show.
Yeah,
they had
of,
the most.
It seems like they made up for E3 with their Vita stuff, didn't it?
Very much.
Like, that
so.
Was like the whole point, which I'm glad because I was worried for a little bit. Like, are they already done with this? Because I like my Vita actually. Right.
So the first thing they announced, PlayStation Plus is coming to Vita by year's end. That's it. We don't know anything else.
Now you don't get to
that.
Pay more for it, right?
I hope not.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's all they said. We don't have any more details. On August 28th, there's a firmware update coming out. It'll have PlayStation 1 games in it. It'll allow you to navigate the screens using the buttons.
Whoa.
It's going to enable the cross-controller functionality, which basically turns a Vita PS3 pairing into a Wii U. So the first game they'll support this is Little Big Planet 2, where you can...
That'd be good.
You know, imagine using the level editor with the touchscreen.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be good. They're upping the cloud storage on PlayStation Plus members from 128 megabytes to a gig, which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But the very exciting thing they announced that I was hoping would happen is cross-buying, where if you get a PS3 version of the game, you get Vita. They've announced it for PlayStation All-Stars, the new Sly Cooper.
Yeah, so it's like what with Shaolin Shapes, but kind of like with everything.
Right. Now, I'm a little unclear on some of the details on it. I don't know if this means just the digital purchase or if you buy it at retail.
Here's my question. So does the Vita version of PlayStation All-Stars have to cost $60 now? It has to. If it comes with the PS3
version.
Well,
no. I think the PS3 comes with Vita, but Vita won't come with PS3.
Oh.
If I'm reading it right.
That makes more sense almost.
Like, I would almost have to think it would work is, like, you get the PS3 version of the game. It has, like, you know, the online passcode to enable multiplayer or whatever, and
see,
then with that, that's how you unlock your Vita digital copy. Oh, it's super
because
smart.
Basically now, people are going to have a library of games for a system they don't own, so there'll be an incentive to get the system.
Right. I mean, imagine if you were already going to buy All-Stars and Sly Cooper and the new Ratchet & Clank, and then you go get a Vita, boom, you've got three games.
Like, you know how they're doing collections? Like, I assume at some point they're going to do, like, an Uncharted collection. When they do that, it should just come with a code for Golden Abyss. Why not? I mean, give them the older games so that they're going to buy the system and get the upcoming new games, you know?
Right.
It's smart. Yes. I think.
They also announced some games for it. Which is nice. Killzone from Guerrilla.
The Guerrilla's actually making it?
Yes.
See, that's good, because that's what I keep telling you. Like, I'm tired of the B-team team.
Exactly. Like what happened with Resistance.
Right. And well,
but those are the guys making the Call of Duty.
Yeah, that's disconcerting, because...
Did we actually see any media from that game yet?
I mean, they announced a bundle.
Really? But, like, we don't even know what the game looks like.
Yeah, like, they made the bad Resistance game for Vita no one liked, and they also made PlayStation Move Heroes or whatever that no one seemed to like.
Oh, they made that.
Mm-hmm.
Whoops.
Yeah, so... I mean, I don't know. How hard can you screw up Call of Duty at this point? The formula's pretty much there.
Yeah, I still don't understand. It's like screwing up mashed potatoes. How you do a Call of Duty on the Vita without L3 and R3.
Oh, it's... Come on.
I mean, yeah, you'll put it somewhere else, but I still feel like... Just make them
like those, like, touchscreen buttons like that one game had.
Well, what? The running, I feel, is harder, because you don't want to move your thumbs off your sticks.
Then make running L or R. I don't know. If you made
it's not as big a deal. It would have been a bigger deal if we got what everybody thought they wanted, where it was, oh yeah, you play cross-play with Vita and PS3 users online.
Yeah, they don't need that.
No.
Next time, Gadget. All right, what's next?
I'm done.
Oh, really? What have you been playing?
So we're just never doing a second segment again, are we?
We might, I don't know. We've been going good here. We talked about Penny Arcade for like 15 minutes, yeah, probably.
Games I've been playing. Let's talk about Counter-Strike Global Offensive.
Oh, see?
I got into the beta last night.
How is that?
It's awesome.
Is it nostalgic? Is it nostalgic? Is it new enough? Do you wish it was newer? Do you wish it was more, like, from Team Fortress Classic to Team Fortress 2? Or do you think Counter-Strike shouldn't be messed with as much?
I kind of. I would have liked to see a little more in the immersion. Like, you know the way TF2 characters, like, kind of talk to each other in the course of a game?
Right.
I mean, there are still voice things that happen in this. Like, there, you can still bring up the little voice menu, hit things, and every time you throw a grenade, your guys are shouting that. But I think it would have been cool to have a little more chatter that was automatic.
Mm-hmm.
Things like guys calling when they're reloading or enemy sighted, that just happen automatically. Because, I mean, like, if you see an enemy, it comes up on the radar for your team. So it'd be cool if there was just, like, an audio thing to go with it. What I've noticed about the game, now, granted, I haven't actually played neither Counter-Strike Source nor the original Counter-Strike for a little while now. But I remember when Counter-Strike Source came out, it felt more like they took the Counter-Strike gameplay and put it into Half-Life 2 and kind of left it like that. Instead of truly making it feel like Counter-Strike,
okay, so
which did feel different from Half-Life, you mm-hmm. know?
Yeah.
So this, like, it has, like, the kind of visual upgrade of Counter-Strike Source even more so now,
mm-hmm.
along with the core gameplay from, like, CS 1.6.
Okay, I gotcha.
It's a good mix. You know, the menus are obviously more streamlined. They work really well. There's playlists you can pick when you play now. So you can decide, do I want to play just hostage maps? Do I want to play a rotation of bombing maps? Or do I want to play a rotation of just the two dust maps, which is what I was playing last night.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. there's also different
kind of game modes. Like, there's the kind of default mode where, you know, friendly fire's on. If a teammate's in the way, you can't, like, run through him.
Mm-hmm.
You have to buy the armor separately every round. Then there's the kind of more casual mode where there is no friendly fire. There's clipping through your teammates. You always have the armor.
Right.
And there are a few more other modes I didn't get to really try yet. There's anything I was going to say that I thought was interesting.
How many maps are, like, officially in the game?
Right? I don't know. Like I said, I just played the playlist. It was the two dust maps. Okay. I don't know what the final number is. I'm going to play it more this week, obviously.
Yeah, I want to get into this. But, you get into the beta now? You just pre-order the game?
Yeah.
Okay, like, right away. I'm going to do that, like, after this.
The thing that'll be interesting is that this is also coming to 360 and PS3. So I'm curious to see how it'll be there.
Would you, like, want to get those versions?
No. I mean... You look at the Left 4 Dead DLC, which is free on PC and $7 on the Xbox.
Hmm.
I mean, Valve's always going to support the PC game better because it's easier for them.
Right, you know,
it's harder to do the console stuff because of all the restrictions. But, if you like Counter-Strike at all, you'll freaking love this.
Yeah, it's weird because, Counter-Strike's a game that I played a lot in, like, 1999.
Right.
A lot. I had, like, fun... Like, I remember these great days where I would just... Like, early Saturday mornings, I would just sit there and play Counter-Strike forever and watch, like, all the cartoons.
Uh-huh.
And just blissful. I remember just thinking, like, this is the life.
Yep.
And I was right.
Well, let's just say, playing counter-terrorist, getting my AUG out, pulling out my knife, running to that hallway in dust, and then sitting there in the corner, I was like, yeah.
It is kind of all about the counter-terrorists. They never really did anything when 9/11 happened. They never really freaked out, did they? And like,
well, I mean, it was kind of in a lull for that game. It was kind of old at that point, so no one was like really freaking out too much about it.
I guess so.
Yeah. So, let's see. I mean, I played some TF2 in my excitement for the upcoming Man vs. Machine update, which, again, should go up later today.
Shouldn't this thing remember my credit card theme?
I think they may have reset everything.
Ugh. Damn it. All right, I'll do it after the show. I want to do it now because then it'll...
Oh, please.
But then wait. Then I'll start downloading. Then okay. I can play with you. I'm listening.
I play... So I talked about it earlier a little bit, but they came out with the PC version of Hero Academy that comes with the TF2 team.
Right.
It's actually really fun.
I'm sure you love that game.
Well, yeah. I mean, I really like that game. I like TF2. It's just... It's neat because... There's never been a team with 9 units before. It's always been like, you know, 5 units, including a super unit. So now it's just kind of 9.
So are they all like good? Are they all balanced?
Yeah, it's cool because, like, the scout, for example, he's pretty weak, but his movement range is huge. So if you need to stomp an enemy or you need to, say, get to the little crystal square that makes the crystals weaker,
right.
He's really good for that. Plus, when you deploy him, it doesn't cost any energy to put him out. You know, the medic can uber charge guys for more damage. The engineer is like instead of like equipping like the sword on guys like you would, the engineer just buffs everybody's weapon.
That's cool. Can he build a turret?
No.
Hmm.
No, so it's more of his dispenser. Like the achievement for equipping 3 guys in 1 round is called erecting a dispenser.
Yeah.
You know, the spies can't be hit at range. They do massive backstab damage. But the pyro can hit them from range because, you know, spy checking.
Right.
It's super cool. It's very cleverly implemented into the game. And I like playing it on the PC a lot for some reason. I don't know why.
That's fine.
What else have you played, Mike?
I've been playing a lot more Kingdom Hearts. I beat it last night. Loved it. So good.
Exciting.
I think last time I said I didn't know if it was better than Birth by Sleep yet because I just started. It's a lot better than Birth by Sleep.
I would hope.
It was really good. And I mean... It was a lot more kind of full-fledged than I thought it would be.
Uh-huh.
It was very, it, you know, it's not like the earlier, Chain of Memories and all the other earlier portable ones where they kind of felt very
like side-questy. Things, yeah.
Like, yeah, like the biggest culprit was the one,
Coded. Fraction.
Code, no. Uh-huh. No, that one was, it was kind of bad, but it was neat. And you know, there's code where it's like, we recreate things digitally and it was originally a mobile game, they ported to the DS. But now I kind of see, I know like it's a big criticism, I understand, it's probably right, but it's cool if you played all those games, because they do bring it all together in this one in a lot of ways.
Yeah, but you feel like now with all these side games on disparate systems...
I do wonder who has possibly beaten all of these.
Yeah,
like
by the time Kingdom Hearts 3 does happen, are we going to be complete? One of two things is going to happen. Either we're going to be completely lost... Are they going to have to, like, re-explain things in the beginning in such a way that they'll have been pointless?
These games have built-in, like, it's a JRPG, they always have these built-in glossaries and stuff. Is it the most sophisticated system? No.
No.
But, like, in this game, like, you get glossary updates throughout the game, like, here's what happened in this game, and whatever, you know, so on and so forth. Is it complicated? Yes. Is it a little convoluted? Yes. Is it very Japanese-y? Yes, it is. You know, it's very much, you know, well, my heart is strong, so I have this power now to do things. You kind of just have to be into that a little bit. Look, it's going to be a little corny, but hey, it's cool because Mickey Mouse is a badass. He's going to come
and save. That's the part I like.
This one has the most Mickey Mouse of all of them.
That's cool.
It's really cool. Mickey's great.
Quick aside, how is it with the new actor doing
it's,
Mickey?
It's different.
Is it?
It's, yeah, well, it's funny because like the first significant thing that new Mickey ever did was Birth by Sleep, really.
Oh, Birth by Sleep.
Yeah,
okay.
And it was, like, really weird getting used. And Birth by Sleep was a little worried because he didn't seem to me to have the emotional range that Wayne Allwright did.
Allwine,
sorry. And I don't know if he still is quite as good as him. His Mickey's a little higher pitched, it seems. But he was good. I still miss, like, having Donald Goofy in my party. They're in the game and they're important in a way. I do just hope that does come back in 3. This whole game is, it very obviously is, like, it's kind of tying up a lot of the loose ends, tying things together for Kingdom Hearts 3. Like, it doesn't say it, but it's definitely, like, Kingdom Hearts 3 is next. If not that, then a collection. I bet there will be an HD collection, though. Just because, like you said, there's so many games, you kind of have to get them all together.
Yeah.
Like, it'd I don't
be
know
nice how... if even that included, like, some of these portable ones just on
at least
PS3
Birth by
or
Sleep.
Yeah.
Because Birth by Sleep is pretty important. Like I said, it is just neat, because it doesn't, you know, even though these games seem insignificant, like, you know, oh, that DS one, they don't care if anybody played it, the plot points introduced to that are incredibly important.
Right.
And they're brought up. So you're kind of rewarded for your loyalty to the franchise, I guess. And you geek out. They do some fan service things. There's like, I won't say who, but there's a fan favorite character who they kind of elevate in this game quite a bit. And it's fun. It's cool. And unlike, say, like Chain of Memories or Coded, it's not just revisiting old worlds constantly. There's a little bit of that, but it's mostly new worlds. You have the Hunchback world.
See, that's good. You know, that was always a hard pill to swallow with the other ones. It's like, going back to Hercules, like,
yeah, exactly, and like, oh,
Peter Hades.
Pan,
like, what else
level
is he gonna
again, sweet, yeah. But like, there's a awesome Hunchback level, great Tron Legacy level, a Fantasia level, which is cool. There's some Fantasia stuff, but it's like a full-on Fantasia level that was pretty neat. The Three Musketeers level, it's a little bit of a bummer that, unlike in Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, like, you don't get the person to join your party,
right?
Actually,
that was kind of the cool thing,
right? But the Dream Eaters were neat in a way, like, you know, they're not characters, which kind of suck, but they're functional. And the way you level up with them is cool. But, like, all in all, I really liked the game. Was I probably always going to? Yes. But even so, like, it's definitely far and away the best of the portable ones they've done.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's cool that they've done these, because they've kind of experimented with a lot of things that I know they'll implement into 3. Flow, like, the flow motion thing, like you see, where you zip around, that's really
cool. I could
see
it being really great in, like, a high-def, big screen game.
And it seems like throughout these games, they've been experimenting with how are we going to do magic better? They, you know, mana is no longer a thing. It's like decks now.
Yeah.
Where you
I still don't like how you have to, like, scroll through a giant unorganized list in real time to get through all your spells and items.
Yeah, it works. But see, that's the kind of thing. You make the deck so that when you do the one spell, it goes to whichever one you want next. So,
not so much that, but, like, when you're like, oh, shit, I need to heal. And you're like, fuck, where's the healing spell?
Yeah, a little bit. It'll be better on consoles, I think, when you can have shortcuts for these things. You can't, because you have a limited number of buttons there.
Connect.
Yeah, why not? That's what he screams the words. I actually wouldn't mind that too much.
No, I think that would actually work,
right?
Kind of well.
But it's cool that it's cooldowns instead of mana, because that was always a big pain, especially Kingdom Hearts 1 was running out of mana.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would be when you would lose a boss fight. I ran out of mana. I guess I can't heal myself anymore.
Yeah,
so I'm dead.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's great. I liked it a lot. Mm-hmm. Fuck you if you hate Kingdom Hearts. I know.
Last thing I got.
Mm-hmm.
The Madden 13 demo came out, so my buddy came over last night. We gave it a shot. So this is the first year they're using basically a tackling animation system that's completely dynamic.
They've been using physics for the first time for a lot of things.
And we played 13, then we went back just for kicks and played a game of 09.
09, wow.
It makes all I'm the sure. difference in the world.
I'm sure. I was kind of shocked that they haven't been using physics. I was like, you mean you're not using physics right now?
It plays so much better. Like, this is the first time I've been, like, actually kind of excited for a Madden game. Since I bought that copy in 09.
Yeah, I kind of want to check that
it
out.
It really is significantly different how it plays. Also, they have new commentary, and it's worlds better than the old commentary. Worlds better. Oh, my God.
Some like screenshots and concept art has just been posted for the Deadpool game.
Yeah, I was looking at that earlier.
Looks that pretty... Gonna it's going to be great.
Did you play anything else?
No, I don't think so. Just a lot of Kingdom Hearts. I was kind of intent on trying to beat it when I can. I mean, there's so much coming out. I would like to play Sleeping Dogs and or Darksiders 2, but I just don't have time.
Yeah.
I'd probably play Sleeping Dogs just because I feel bad playing Darksiders 2 without having played the first one yet.
I got the first one pretty cheap right now, huh?
Yeah, but it's not so much that, but the time investment.
Right.
It's weird. Some people seem like, yeah, Darksiders is okay. It steals a lot, but, you know, it's fine. There's other people who just, like, love Darksiders.
Yeah, I saw Gabe tweet earlier today, like, Darksiders is everything I want in a video game.
Mm. But that's it. You want to get to the releases?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see what comes out. Or came out. Legends of Pegasus for PC. Looks spacey. There's a lot of stuff this week. Yeah, we had Darksiders 2 for PC, 360, PS3. The Last Story for the Wii. Even the Wii's got something.
It's craziness. Yeah.
Sleeping Dogs, PC, 360, PS3. Dust and Elysian Tale for 360. This has got to be the only Summer Arcade where I did not buy a single game.
Yeah, I didn't either.
That's weird.
Well, because I'd actually rather get Tony Hawk on the PS3.
Yeah. Poppo and Yo for PS3. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, I
guess it's supposed to be like kind of it's one of the games that's more interesting than probably is good.
Yeah, that's what makes me nervous. Like, people have been talking about this game forever. Like, oh, it's so cool concept. It's about, you know, abuse and a bad father relationship. But like, I've never heard anyone talk about how the game plays.
Yeah, I don't quite understand.
That's what makes me nervous about it. Like, the video, like the trailer put out, like, I saw some kind of neat things in it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you know, like, there's too many video games out right now. And I know this is kind of like a, I don't know, maybe a lowbrow thing to say. It's like a neat idea or concept isn't enough. I kind of need something to be the complete package.
I want something to be a game.
Well, yeah, I think that above all else.
I mean, I don't know. We haven't played it. Maybe it's fun. Hey.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I don't know. I need to read the reviews.
That's it, by the way.
People say about how it actually plays.
That's it.
All right. So, well, our brother's getting married this weekend, so yeah, I don't think he actually listens to this, but congratulations.
No. Sure, whatever.
And next Friday, the 24th, is our 5-year anniversary.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
We'll figure out something exciting to do either next week or the week after or on the day. I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure out something fun. The
funnest.
I did not think we'd be doing this for 5 years.
No. God, no. Christ.
But here we are.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. You can also follow us at Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel and at Facebook at facebook.com/explodingbarrel. Be sure to go to the iTunes Music Store and check us out there. You can see all of our past episodes, all 5 years worth, apparently.
Yeah, they're all there. And again, I apologize to our Zoom listeners. I've been trying to figure out how to, like, change it. Well, we got a question about this. I know.
I love you, Zoom listeners, but I don't apologize.
I don't know how to... There's no easy way in Zoom to either resubmit or change your feed.
But yeah, if you're on iTunes, though, leave us a review and all that.
Yeah, we're all over iTunes.
Yeah. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.
Bye-bye.
This whole thing has never stopped icking me out. Thing.